Now, will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. I sought the Lord during this past week as to what is to be my word for the congregation this morning. And I am trusting that the Holy Spirit will be pleased to honor His word as we open the text for the next few moments, asking God to perhaps a good illustration. I remember this, reading the book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, written by Phil Keller. And in that book, he tells about the idea of the anointing with oil that takes place when the sheep begin to buck at each other. And Phil Keller said the idea is that at nights when he would be asleep as a shepherd, he would hear thud, thud, thud. And in order to take care of what was happening, he would take linseed oil and he would anoint the horns of the sheep so that when they hit, they just slide off each other. And I thought, what a beautiful picture. If we can have the anointing, if you please, of God the Holy Spirit in our midst at this time. Romans 8:26, I believe, is the word that God gave for our congregation this morning. Some time ago, I was conducting a premarital counseling session, which I usually do with each one who asks me to marry them, or to perform their marriage, may I say. And I usually ask certain questions for the benefit of getting to know some of the reactions of the ones that are going to be married. And I ask this question, and I always love the reaction that I get. I ask this question to the couple who was with me at the time. How did your parents handle marital difficulties? And the person looked straight in my face and said, my parents never had marital difficulties. What do you say to that? I was in the presence of a wife who said, I have been married for 45 years and we have never had one day of difficulty. I'd like to read her book. No two people can be in one place for a period of time, but that sooner or later you will encounter something that causes differences. Our church at the moment is not facing a crisis, it is facing a challenge. It is not facing a black hole, it is facing the call of God to rise above the challenges that are before us and to respond with the grace that He gives. How then can we so respond? What do we do when we face troubles? The title of the message is, When in Trouble, Think, Don't Feel. Because if we feel, we will feel what we feel. But if we think based upon what God says, we may come to the end of the situation looking back and saying, all the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask besides? I want to take you for the next few moments through two verses of Scripture. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will do His work to quiet our hearts, to comfort our sorrows, and to renew our hope. Romans 8:26-28. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Our text tells us two things that I want to deal with for the next few moments. The The first of the revelation from this text is that in times of trouble, we should be conscious of the divine awareness of our troubles. The divine awareness of our troubles. Verse 26 says this, "And in the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses." The Spirit helps our weaknesses not in absentia. The Spirit helps our weaknesses not from a distance. The Spirit helps our weakness because He is there with our weakness. He is present with our weakness. The word weakness could be seen as spiritual or physical. It could be seen, if you please, our inability or our weakness as power would demand. But whatever it is, the idea of the Spirit given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, the theological word that was given to Him was the word parakletos. And the word means someone who comes near. Someone who happens to be near at a certain time. Jesus looked at the bewildered disciples and He said to them, "You are sorrowing because I go back to my Father. If I do not go back to my Father, the Spirit will not come." And when the Spirit was about to come, He named Him another comforter, one who is near. I looked at this through the Scriptures this past week. Israel said, as the text that was read from Isaiah chapter 40, "Why do you say, O Judah, why do you say, O Israel, that your ways are hidden from the Lord?" My dear friends, may I say to you that no matter what it is, whether it is joy or sorrow, whether it is pain or pleasure, whether it is delight or difficulties, the Spirit is here. He is present. He has been given to be with us. To be with us when the only thing we can relate to is our weakness, our physical deficiencies. When there are difficulties we must face, the Spirit is not absent. We do not need to say that our ways are hidden from God. He is here. And if the Spirit is here, we have a divine awareness of our troubles. Three wonderful little experiences, just briefly naming them to you. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 and 21, Joseph is maligned by Potiphar's wife. He is punished for what Potiphar's wife said by Potiphar himself. Joseph is taken to prison for something he was not guilty of. And listen to what the text says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." He was present with him. His presence did not keep him from going to prison. His presence went to prison with him. His presence went to prison with him. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, for years and years and years, Israel cried to God because of the difficulties they were facing. In chapter 3, verse 7 of Exodus, the Lord came to Moses from a fiery bush. And listen to what He said. "I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cries. I am aware," listen, "I am aware of their sufferings," plural. He was there. His presence did not protect them from it. His presence was there with them in it. Job chapter 23, one of my favorite texts. Job is crying to God. He got all kinds of advices from people. Yet he concluded, "But He knows the way that I take, and when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He knows. He knew where you were in the wee hours of the mornings this past week. He was not unaware. He was there. The Holy Spirit is here because He's aware of our troubles. He was given, He was sent for that purpose, for the times of our weaknesses. Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very immediate present help in trouble. He is here. He is not over there. He's with his people. Just as a mother responds to the cry of her child, just as a father responds to the need of his child and they're there, so the Holy Spirit is here, for God has given him to us to be there for the times of our weakness. And so there's a divine awareness of our troubles. The Holy Spirit is present. The Holy Spirit is praying. The Holy Spirit is praying. And in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray. Has this been your experience this past week? It has been mine. How do I pray? How do I respond to the troubles that I feel? Remember the old Negro spiritual? Nobody knows the trouble that I feel. Nobody knows but Jesus. He helps us, my friends. And there are times when we do not have the words to, we feel it within us. There is a groaning of the inner soul. And the soul wants to say something that perhaps could get God to feel how deeply we feel. And when we cannot bring it ourselves, the Holy Spirit takes over. With groanings which cannot be uttered. No human words will suffice with the times when our souls feel that it is in a black hole. But the Spirit is here. The Spirit is there. He has come in order that we might have help in times of need. He is an immediate help. I was looking for the story. I read it somewhere. There's a singing group called the Arrows. I'm not too sure. I was reading it in Time magazine or something. And they were in Canada. And there was an accident. And they were going by with their bus. And they stopped to help the people who had had an accident. And it's a beautiful illustration because, my friends, that's how the whole praying ministry of the Holy Spirit is there. He happens to be there. Not by chance. He chooses to be there. Before we could get the words out of our mouths sometimes, He is there with an intercession. What does this mean? It means when the Holy Spirit, my friends, in a way that we cannot begin to understand, comes where we are. The little word that is used, King James says, the Holy Spirit helpeth, helpeth. When that word helper, helpeth is transliterated into the English language from the original, the word sounds something like this, sun anti lambano. It's a mouthful. But what the word is this? The Holy Spirit comes to where we are in our troubles. In fact, the word is used again in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. You remember when Mary and Martha were taking care of Jesus when he came to Bethany? Martha was cumbered about with many things, and Martha has taken a bad rap. She really has. Because let me tell you what the text says. Lord, tell Mary to come over and help me. She didn't say, tell Mary to come and do the work while I take a rest. You know what she was saying? Tell Mary to come and do this. Take the other side. She wasn't saying, I want to take a rest or I want to do it all alone. She said, tell Mary to come over. And the Holy Spirit does exactly the same thing. He comes over. And together with us, He takes hold of the troubles we're feeling. And He brings us into the place where our hearts are revealed to Him, unveiled to Him. And He takes what we feel in our hearts because He's close by. And He holds on together. And we take the thing together. And He helps me to bear up in my weakness what I cannot. And He takes to God what I cannot express. The Holy Spirit helps us. He stands against the thing that is against us so that we are able to bear it together. You and you and you and you and you are in cooperation with the Spirit of God to take hold of the troubles we feel, and He takes it to God in a way that you and I cannot. The Holy Spirit is praying. You have not been alone this week. I have not been alone this week. The Church of Jesus Christ has not been alone this week. We have been in partnership with the Holy Spirit, who has been present and who, listen, continues to pray. He continues to pray. Secondly, there is a divine activities in our troubles. There is a divine activities in our troubles. Look at verse 27. And he who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is. I want you to see, my friends, what is taking place here. There is God the Father, God the Spirit, and the child of God. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And so what the Spirit has taken from us to God, God says, okay, as it were, I will take over now. We have consulted, as it were, a divine consultation in glory. And God says, I will take over. So that we come to verse 27, and we know. Because the Spirit has taken it to God. You know, there's a very interesting verse in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7. Where Stephen is being stoned. And as he's about to die, he says, I see heaven open, the heavens open, and the Lord standing. You know, it is the only place in the New Testament where Jesus is seen standing in any part of the New Testament revealed. As one theologian said, it is almost as if he was standing up to receive Stephen. We see this picture, my friends, in the same way. We see God with a sense of urgency, if I may use that term, in glory. As it were, he stands to see because now he's going to become active in the troubles of his people. The Spirit has taken the intercessory concerns to him. And God takes over. Now he is going to work. And because we know he's going to work, we can say with utter confidence, we know. We know. What do we know? Three things. We know that God is in control. We know that God is in control. The Spirit takes the distress to God and he takes control of it. When God takes control, my friends, we come to understand something of his sovereignty. Sovereignty simply means this. Sovereignty means that he causes both calamities. He causes both calamities and celebration to be effected according to his will. Because he's sovereign, God has control over everything. Amos chapter 3 verse 6 says, does evil befall a city unless the Lord has done it? No sin can thwart the plan and purposes of God. He even uses the sin of man to the effect of his own eternal purpose. Let me read these words so you need to turn there unless you want to take notes with it. Acts chapter 4 verses 27 and 28. Just listen as I read. For truly in the city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purposes predestined to occur. The death of Jesus Christ was no accident. Even though God did not orchestrate the sin of Judas, God was going to use the sin of Judas to actually do his own will. God is in control. My friends, that gives me confidence. That gives me hope. It restores, if you please, the energy of my life. Because if the existence of the church depended upon yours truly, then my friends, you have reasons to fear. Truth forever on the scaffold. Wrong forever on the throne. And the scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch over his own. God is in control. I have to believe that. Not because I'm trying to make belief of it, but because God has said it. We know that in all things, God is sovereign. But God is also wise. God is also wise. When I say that God is wise, I mean that he has the ability to perfect ends and achieve those ends by means that are known to him. And God allows certain things, my friends, so he knows how it's going to turn out because he is going to work with his wise mind to bring about the purpose that he has for us. I cannot understand it. I cannot understand it, but it is true. God never has to say, oops. God never has to go back to the drawing board at any point. Whatever happens, God is able to bring about his eternal purpose, and no one and nothing can stop him from doing it. That gives me hope. God is coordinating our troubles. God is coordinating in our troubles. God causes all things to work together for good. God causes all things. I said this to someone sometimes, I believe in coincidences. And the person said, you do? I said, yes, I do. Because the word coincidence, if you look in Webster's dictionary, simply means to bring the pieces together to fit. And God, my friends, like a master craftsman, I say that reverently, is able to bring whatever the situation is, knowing his wise mind, he will bring everything together and he will fit them. This is why the Apostle Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? Our sufficiency is from God. And God is calling us to do something. God is releasing us to do something great. Listen to what he says in Psalm 50 and verse 15. Call upon me in times of troubles, and I will answer you, and you will honor me. Call upon me in times of troubles, and I will answer you. God wants us, my friends, if we have never done it before. I want to be careful here, because this is not sentimentalism. I believe that God wants us to pray as we have never prayed before. With a sense of brokenness. I believe that God wants to show us what he can do when we surrender fully to him, in order that he might be able in and through us to do great and mighty things which we do not know. But it will not come outside of prayer. It will not come. And if this situation we're going through is calling us, causing us not only to pray at home, I know we all do that, but to come together. There is strength in unity. And imagine, my friends, if the very angels in heaven would hear a swell of prayers going up to God like incense in the evening. Imagine what will happen. That this community will hear not what the church is doing for God at Markham, but what God is doing in the church at Markham. God is coordinating our troubles. He has a purpose for it. Let me go quickly to my last point, that God's conclusion is what we want in our troubles. According to his purpose. According to his purpose. The brothers of Joseph sold him. Potiphar lied about him. His father thought it had all been done. And listen to Joseph in chapter 50 of Genesis. I am in God's place. You meant it for evil, but God for good. Listen to what he says. What was the purpose of God? Friends, the purpose of God was not that Joseph might be justified or vindicated. That was not the purpose of God. Read the text. Genesis 50. The purpose of God that many people's lives might be saved. That was the purpose. Someone wrote me a note, and the only reason I'm referring to it is because at the end of this note it says, who knows that if God will not use what had been done, perhaps the evil one wants to keep the many that will come to know Jesus Christ through this ministry. And if he can get us to internalize what is happening rather than to intercede for what is happening, and God comes upon us, the many souls that will be saved. My friends, if we know the purpose of God is not to vindicate a pastor, not to vindicate pastors, not to vindicate elders, the purpose of God is to use pastors and use elders to save many lives and to bring glory to his name. That's the purpose of God, according to his purpose. Let me give you a few notes to take with you. God asked Joseph to go to prison. Misunderstood. God asked Hosea to marry Gomer, who was a prostitute. God asked his son to leave glory to come to sinners. God asked Jeremiah to withstand the difficulties of his day. God is asking Marco Missionary Church to allow him to use the troubles to save many lives. Listen to his promise. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a hope and to give you a future. The end has not come, friends. The beginning is just starting. Let us believe God for it. He tried to kill himself 3 times. He was a manic, depressive man almost all his life. He was put in an insane asylum. He experienced great misunderstanding because of this. Brilliant as far as brilliance is concerned. But he never enjoyed one day of physical peace. Yet God used him in a majestic way to affect our lives to this very moment I speak with you. His name is William Cooper. And he wrote the hymn out of the deep depth of depression that he was experiencing. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Trust not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his works in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain.